This week is Parshas Bo. This week is Rabbi Chol's favorite parsha. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim. First Rashi, we'll come to that a little soon. The first Rashi in the Torah references Parshas Bo. Lo hayot sarich lahaschil ela b'achodesh hazeh lachem. We'll come to that in a few moments, but let's first discuss the beginning of the parsha. There are three makos. Last week we learned about 7 of the 10 makos. And this week we learned about the last three. Arbe choshech makas b'choyres. From all the makos, the only makos that Hashem did not tell Moshe, did not mention what the makos would be, is arbe, locust. It doesn't say anywhere that Hashem says to Moshe, go to Paro and tell Paro, if you don't behave, there's going to be arbe. Hashem doesn't say to Moshe, I want you now to bring the arbe. All it says, it's very, very bizarre. All the Mepharshim, they talk about this. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, bo el Paro, go to Paro. And doesn't say what to do. Just go warn him. Go to Paro. Rashi says, what should I do? Go to Paro. And do what? Rashi, v'hashrei bo. Go to Paro and tell Paro you better behave. That's it. Moshe did not tell Paro what's going to happen. Hashem did not tell Moshe what's going to happen. All Hashem says, Moshe, go to Paro and warn him. Ki ani hichbadeti yeslibo. Then we go on to this. We'll discuss in a few moments. I've hardened his heart and the heart of his servants. Laman shisi oisayseile bikerbo v'chulu v'chulu. And then what happens? Then Moshe goes vayavoy Moshe v'yaharon el Paro v'yomer lov koyamar Hashem lokayoy v'im admosami antel le'onois mi ponoy shalach ami v'yavduni. Ki, this is Moshe, im mo'enato l'shaleach esami, hinani mevi mochor arbe bigvulecho. How do you know? Exactly, how do you know? This is a very famous question. So all different types of answers. Some want to say, bo, when you put the word, you interchange the beis with the pei, and the ayin with the aleph, it turns into arbe. This is more like a remez type of Jewish. Paro, no, the letter pei and the letter beis are very similar.
Yes.
Inside of a pei is an invisible beis.
They're pronounced very similar way.
Targum,
always, a very similar.
Like, how do you say iron in Hebrew? Barzel. How do you say barzel in Aramaic? Parzilah.
Same thing with Arabic.
So the beis and the pei are interchanged. And the ayin and the aleph, we know, are also interchanged, even though they're not exactly the same. But there's a degree of leniency in the world of Drush, the aleph and so therefore, when you interchange the pei with the beis and the ayin with the aleph, it goes from paro into arbe. Okay, in the words, it's not an audible. You have to change the letters around. I don't like this. That's not my type of. It's nice. This is in Kabbalah in the Kabel. So therefore, when you put the bow into Paro, Paro turns into Arbe. All right. Some people they love this stuff. Some people nothing to write home about. Okay. It all depends on your style. Okay. I personally this doesn't turn me on, but it's a very good kasha. So therefore it's a very interesting question. Some of Farshim go so far to say is that Hashem said to Moshe, now it's your turn. You're a partner with me in Yitzias Mitzrayim. Any mako you want, you decide. You make a decision. It's your call. Your call. Go. Did you ever see some really scary movies? Go and your choice. You select what you want to do to these people. And Moshe was very creative, and he decided to bring the makah of arbe.
Well,
what?
Well.
Okay, now okay. There's a lot going on. So let's one thing at a time. Okay, let's first talk about arbe. Arbe. So Moshe selected arbe. So every time you have a makah, there's always something very unique. There's always a unique characteristic of the makah. You study the psukim that you do not have by any other makah. You always have to look what makes this makah unique, different. And there are indefinitely things. Number one very important element about the makah is wind. They couldn't do the shchin either. They couldn't do the that was already established. They couldn't do the shchin. They already that But what's unique about this maka, number one, is ruach. Is there's a very strong emphasis of wind. The wind, you know, every maka, there's always, what is the main maka? When it comes to the tzvar de'im, so we think crocodiles. Oh, very there. You're afraid they're going to eat you up. The tzvar de'im. If you want, it's a frog. It's a nuisance. There are frogs in my bed. If you're going to tell me it's a crocodile, it's going to chop off my head. Okay, so that's not only one element. There are many other. Is noise pollution. There's so much emphasis is that the croaking of these creatures was deafening and driving them mad. Okay, there was the stink in the land, the tivash aretz.
That's after they die.
After they die, it's all part of the maka. So there are, every maka has elements, and you only just say the word tzvar de'im. So we sometimes focus on what we think is the obvious issue, but that's not necessarily the case, because when you look at the mafarshim, you suddenly get a flavor that the main problem with the arbez is the noise. They were going out of their mind from the noise. The noise was driving them crazy. Not so much the damage and the danger of what the tzaradim did. Each maka is like that. You have to.
I mean, you can't deny that when a swarm of locusts come, they eat everything in sight. So
okay. So what is it exactly about the locust that you know, it's very annoying? There are locusts all over the place. Is it because they destroy the food? Is it because they already had that? The borrowed also destroyed food.
And they blot out the sun and
darkness. Exactly. Every maka has so many different elements. What is an element of a maka that is overwhelming, which sends a message? There's a message. And you cannot deny that one of the main things that repeats itself again and again in the maka of Arba is the wind. The wind, you don't have that. You have that later by Kriyas Yamsuf of wind. But here by this maka, it says over here. Let me read the psukim. Vayomru umolu v'tech. Let's see. Ki einat lozos mihini maybe mochar ari gulach v'chisosin al aretz. Okay, it's in the cover of the earth. There are many different elements you can focus on. But let me just go run down when it actually happens. Vayomru lokim himochem kasha shalach. Vayomru Hashem al Moshe. Hashem agreed to Moshe. Even though Hashem originally, when he told him to warn Paro, Hashem never mentioned Mak of Marbe. Moshe mentioned Marbe, bring the Arbe. The Alaris Hashem, then it says over here, Vayed Moshe Smatei Alaris Hashem, Vashem Nihag Ruach Kodim Boaretz. A wind. This is the first time we have this. The wind. Kol Hayoy Mahu V'chol Haloyla. Haboker hoya viruach hakodim noso es harbe. Vayal harbe al kol eretz shavayenach b'cholim. Then went then and covered the land. And then when Paro came to complain, and Hashem vayafoich Hashem ruach yom chazok meoid. It's interesting that the wind that took it away was even stronger than the wind that brought it. Vayisso es harbe vayisko yom asof loy nisha harbe echad b'chol gvul b'tshayim. Wind. But as we're getting closer to Makas Bechoros, I'm trying to suggest each Maka was getting more and more spiritual. At first you have Dam. Spiritual. Wind is a spiritual concept. A person, Vayipach Be'apov Nishmas Chayim. Hashem blew into man a neshama. A neshama in the Targum is called a Ruach Mimalala, a wind, a spirit that speaks. Dam, what is dam? Water. Water is a davar gashmi. The whole world, bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim ve'es haaretz. Ve'aretz ha'isa soyuva v'choshach al pnei savruchachim rachefes al pnei hamayim. Mayim, when the Torah begins, is the spitz of gashmias. The Ruach Elokim is merachefes, the spirituality al pnei hamoim upon physicality. Okay, this oretz, shamayim, and the oretz, seemingly the whole earth. And then when we talk about the Ruach Elokim, it's hovering. What does that mean exactly? It's a drush, not necessarily what I'm saying is correct. Is that when that at the time of creation, there was a very distinct separation between Ruchnius and Gashmius. There's the Ruach Elohim, and there is the Mayim, the Pnei Mayim. They have nothing in common. Creation, the whole purpose of this world is Roifei Chol Bosor Umaflila Asois, is to take the Mayim, man is 70% water, and in the Mayim to breathe a Ruach Neshama, is to breathe life. It's to intertwine, is to intermingle Ruchnius with Gashmius. Everything in Yadus is built upon this Yisoid. That's what we say in the Berach, Refei Chol Basar Mafli La'asoy. It's a Pella that you can have a Dover Gashmi that's also Ruchnius. This is Adam. Adam is the synthesis of Ruchnius and Gashmius. But that's all. Then the first day was Or. Second day was Vayavel Kimina Maima Shamitachas. There are different elements of spiritual. I'm talking in circles. In the beginning of creation, I'm trying to suggest, whether I'm right or wrong, is that pasuk of Varuach Elokim Merachefes Al Pnei Hamoyim is a statement. Is that Ruchnius and Gashmius at the time of creation had nothing in common. The Ruach Elohim is spirituality. It is hovering over the water. The water represents a dogma of total Gashmius. And then what happened? Hashem created the world. He synthesized the Ruach Elohim with the elements of Gashmius to create everything that we have today. And the spitz of that is Adam, which is a creature that is a Pella. Refei Chol Bosa Mafli La'asos, the two of them come together. Now, if you study the Makos, which I didn't study, I'm just trying to tell you a raw idea. Each Maka progressively,
yes,
is getting more and more spiritual.
Well, there are a number of progressions. There are several progressions.
And many Mahalchim. There are many Mahalchim to explain the progression of the Makos. This, to me, is new. This is a different idea, is that Dam, Tzvardeya, you have to analyze them. This is what to talk about, but I didn't prepare.
Yeah, I mean,
but I'm trying to suggest.
I have a chart of the progression, but it's buried in my head.
Okay, there are different avenues to analyze the progression. And I'm just trying to say that we're coming now at the end of the Makos. Obviously, the most spiritual is death, the firstborn. And that doesn't need any explanation. That Hashem comes and takes away the person's neshama. The Egyptians died. And which one died? The firstborn. How do you know who the firstborn is? How could you possibly know who the firstborn is? I mean, it's the ultimate. That's expression. The ultimate is some women had five firstborns because they lived with men with ravokim. Rashi says with young men that never had a child before, and one woman can have five children. Rashi says, and each child was the firstborn to a different man. That's what Rashi says. How do you know that? How do you know that? The only one that can know that is Hashem. And these individuals died. A selection of who's going to live mi yichye, mi yomus, based upon information that no one in the world knows other than Hashem. This is the spitz of Ruchnius, a spiritual revelation. Water on the first Makkah. Water, no, so the water turned, the water went sour. It didn't affect. So we don't have water, so I'm fine. It affects the b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. The pasuk says there was dam in the whole land. It didn't differentiate between a b'chor and a non-b'chor. The first makkah of dam did not discriminate. It was gender neutral. Everyone in the entire country had a problem. The water has spoiled. Okay, whatever. There's no differentiation. It is a makas medina. A makas medina, everyone's in the same boat. No one has water. And water represents, in the time of creation, as a dogma of a dover gashmi. There's Ruach Elohim, and there's Mayim. and the Ruach Elokim is hovering over Pnei HaMayim, so the water is polluted. Okay, Adavar Gashmi. As you go through the Makos, you have to study if this is correct. Each Makos gets a little bit more spiritual. The last Makos is the Shpitz, because we're dealing with Hashem selecting which Neshamos He's going to take away, based upon information that no human being can know other than Hashem. That is the ultimate revelation of spirituality. There is specificity. Anytime that something is very pointed, very precise, that is a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha Pratis. Death and life is certainly, Hashem is the one who gives life and death. The combination of life and death with being with precision, is the ultimate revelation of Hashem's presence in this world. Life and death bechlal is a revelation of Hashem's presence. Precision, hashkocha pratis, is also a revelation. When you combine precision, hashkocha pratis, with life and death, that's the ultimate. Mayim, there was dam b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Nothing specific. It's a makas medina. The water is polluted.
There's still a very important distinction. Whose water it is. I mean, it could be from the
okay,
same source.
100%.
So there's that distinction. There's
100, okay, every makkah was a miracle, obviously. But on a scale, is that we come now to this week's parasha. We're coming now to very spiritual makkahs. The makkah was arba, locust. The locust, I'm trying to suggest, was just a hecha timsa to be megale that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the ruach, the wind. The wind. There was a ruach chozak. There's
the atmosphere.
The atmosphere, okay. Meteorologists, can they...
That's okay. The progression. From below ground.
Okay, that's another mahalach. Okay, there are many different mahalachim. Okay, there are many mahalachim in the expression. I just want that these makos of this week's parasha are very spiritual makos. They're extremely spiritual. There is the koyach of sight. The three makos: arbe, choyshech, makas b'choyres. Arbe is ruach. The locust is not the makos. The locust is just a hechatimsa to reveal the ruach. The ruach Elokim. The ruach Elokim merachefes al pnei hamoyim. Hashem's existence in this world is described in the Torah, in the beginning of the Torah. The ruach Elokim. The spirit of Elokim. He's now coming, Elokim is Midas Hadin. He's now coming in this week's parasha to give them the knockout blow, to finish them off. Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, the time, I've done mine. I've done already seven makos. My seven makos, they're pretty much gashmius. Dvarim gashmiim. Of course, everything is a miracle. And miracles, Barad was as kol magev osai. You know, it's interesting that Barad, the last of the seven makos, Hashem says, es kol, in last week's parasha, es kol magev osai. Mikan, Rashi says, we learn that Barad was shokol kneged, it was the most severe of all the makos. That's last week's parasha. And all the Mepharshim are stunned. What? Borod? Number seven. Hinni shalech bochem es kol magefoisai. All of my makos. Mikan, shemakas borod, shokol kineged, is shokol kineged, all the makos. What? What are you talking about? That's not the goal. There's a procession. The one that is shakal kineged kol hamakos is makas b'choyres. How could Rashi say that? So everyone, all the mefarshim, they scratch their head, and they're so disturbed they even change the girsa, and they say it's not. Don't read a makas kineged shemakas. Shemakas. Okay, I forgot already. They changed the girsa. The girsa. I'm sorry, I apologize. They changed the girsa. They're so disturbed. what Rashi there means, the work, is very simple. Hashem finished his job last week. It's not for nothing that this the Makos are divided between 7 and 3. Last week, Hashem, I work with the number 7. I created the world in 7 days. There are 7 years of Shemitah. There are 7 Shemitahs to make a Yovel. Last week, I'm done. I'm finished. I finished off my Avodah of dealing with the Egyptians with 7 Makos. The last of the Makos was Makas Borod. Makas Borod came straight from heaven. Okay, came hailstones. There was fire on the inside, ice on the outside, miracles. It says there in the Pasuk, it says there in Rashi that the Pelois, unusual miracles happened with the Mak of Barat. That's right, I'm done. This week's parasha, Hashem says, Moshe, I'm done. Now it's your turn. Now you do something for me. I smote them with the physical world. You now, Moshe, it's your turn now to bring upon them spiritual suffering. Bring upon them, Hashem is Ruchnius, so Hashem punishes men with Gashmius. Moshe, you're an Ish Gashmi, you're a physical person, you now stand up for my honor and punish them with spirituality. So there are 3 Makos. What are the 3? These are 3 very spiritual Makos. Number 1 is Arbe. Arbe, the locus, is not what's important. What's important, Arbe is just a Hecha Timsa to show the world the Ruach Elokim Merachefes. It's a dogma. If there's going to be a strong wind, okay, the wind comes, the wind goes. But when the wind is blowing the locust and the locust is destroying the land, and it's the wind takes them, it awakens a person's mind. There's a koyach of ruach. Ruach you can't touch. It's not something you can touch. Okay, you'll tell me the science, all the science, v'chulu, yeah. But it's not for nothing that in the beginning of the Torah, before science was created, in the 7 days of creation, it says, V'ruach Elokim merachefes al pnei hamayim. The Mako of Arbe is a gilui of the Ruach Elokim. The Mako of Choshech is Hashem is Ayin Roye v'Oizen Shamas. A person, Choshech has many different meanings. V'yomesh Choshech, Rachmanel, some people Rachmanel Islam that suffer from clinical depression. Severe clinical depression will tell you the depression is so deep you can mamish touch it. The mamish use these words that it's such a debilitating feeling. The mind shuts down. The yomei choshech, according to some commentators, doesn't just mean it was dark outside. It means they suffered from severe depression. And if you want to learn literally light, Vayom Elokim Yihi Or. And Chazal say, what is the Or? The Or was the Or Hashem put away for the Tzadikim La'osilavai. Vayom Elokim Yihi Or, Vayihi Or. The Or doesn't mean there was just a physical light. Or represents spirituality. When they suffered Choshech, it means they every, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have Or, every person lives to a degree with the aura of Maisa Bereshis, a small little dosage of that spiritual aura, which gives him a desire to live. And when they suffered from Choshech, it means the teeny mashu of aura that Hashem allowed, the spiritual, that man needs to survive in this world, was taken away from them. And Mimela, they suffered Choshech. And of course, the last is Makas Bukharis. So I'm trying to suggest over here is that these last Makos represent Moshe Rabbeinu's participation with Hashem, of course, in the knockout punch of Ruchnius. 7 is the number of Gashmias. The first 7 Makos were Makos that are primarily Makos, Hashem affecting, changing the Gashmis, waking up the Egyptians. The last three, the focus is the spiritual element of the Makkah. The Arbe is a dogma for the Ruach Elohim, a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present. The Ruach Elohim is Menacheves al Pnei Amoyim. Darkness is Vayom Elohim Yihi Or. When Hashem created this world, Hashem created Or, a spiritual light. And then Hashem saw that the Tzadikim, that it's not fitting for the Rishon to be Nene from the Or, so Hashem was Goynez, took the Or, and Hashem put the Or away for the Tzadikim L'Osid Lovai. Question, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew in advance that it's not Kedai for the wicked people to have Or in this world, so why did He even create it to put it away? He should have just created in the next world. There are a lot of things that don't exist in this world, that only are in the next world. Why
the original Or is reserved.
But why? We don't know what goes on in Gan Eden. Why did it have to be Hashem created the Or, and then Hashem, it's not Kedai for the wicked people to be Nene, so let me take the Or and put it away in Geniza for the Tzadikim Liyasalova. Hashem should create the Or in the Mokim HaGeniza. Why was it necessary for 36 hours that Or to be in this world exposed and then put it in Geniza? Hashem should have created the Or in the place of Geniza from day one. Why was it exposed? Was the plan that it should be for 36 hours in this world? The answer is because we are still living off that Or that was exposed for those 36 hours. Light travels. Just like in the physical world, light travels, takes 8 minutes to get from the sun to here. That Or, that spiritual Or that Hashem exposed to this world is still shining. And that's the only reason why we're able to survive. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to allow a little glimpse of that Or to exist in this world, because a person did not have that spiritual revelation of what the purpose of this world is, he wouldn't survive a day. So Hashem by design had to allow the Or to exist for 36 hours and then put it in Geniza so that we can live off those 36 hours for the rest of time. Every person in this world has some spark of spirituality. He has some divine calling. Where does he get that divine calling from? That is the Or of Ma'aseh Bereishis. You walk around in the street, it's a dark world. So why are you a servant of Hashem? Why do you daven? Why do you learn? Why do you have any ambition? It's because you see something. What do you mean you see something? I don't see anything. I see a dark world. No, I see something. How do you see? There's the residual Or of Ma'aseh Bereishis for 36 hours that still keeps you going. That's what gives you Poseh Chesedech Masbil Chochai Ratzon. And if you don't have that, you don't connect to that Or, you're dead. Here comes Choshech. Makas Choshech was what darkness came upon the world, the darkness of that Or. Even the Goyim have some spiritual Or to keep them going. That darkness, that Or of Ma'aseh Bereishis was denied from them. They sunk into a depression, into a darkness of nothingness. And that destroyed them. And then, of course, Makas Horus. Okay, that is one idea. Let's put that on the shelf, and let's now go to a new idea. Moshe comes to Paro, and Hashem says to Moshe, listen, you're dealing with a stubborn mule. Don't expect he's gonna change his mind. Koved Lev Paro. His heart turned into his liver. Okay, there's a whole kaved le paro. The organs are all kaved. I have hardened his heart. Kaved le paro. What is it over here? Bo paro ki ani I hichbadeti es libo. Okay, what does it mean to harden your heart? Everyone knows stubborn people. Some people themselves are stubborn. They don't have to know anyone. They can just look at themselves in the mirror and they can find a stubborn mule. What exactly is the nature of stubbornness? I don't know. We need to bring in a team of professionals to explain to us the trait of stubbornness. What exactly, how does it work exactly? However, Chazal were also psychologists. And Chazal, and Targum says something very, very insightful. Okay, we learn in the afternoon Targum. Anyone who wants to join us can join. You can get to sit next to Amir Appeldorf. He will enlighten you. And it says over here in Rashi, Kaved Lev Paro, Bo Parakibarti Yeslibo. Okay, Rashi, Unkelus translates the word Kaved consistently throughout the entire story of Kaved. Viamar Hashem Lemoshe, Ul Levas Paro, Are Ano Ya Koris, Yokor. La Yehudim Hoysa Oira Simcha Sosoin Vikar. What does Yikar mean? It means many things. It means literally heavy. Heavy. He has a heavy heart. What does it mean, heavy? You can't change, you can't move. So if you want to literally translate the word Kaveh Lev Paro, we translate as hardened. It means if something is very heavy, if something is very heavy, you can't move it. Paro's heart, his decision is like 1,000 tons. He's not receptive to change, to allowing himself to have a different decision. Okay, that's because the word yokar means heavy, but that's not really what it means. Yokar means honor. La Yehudim hoysa oira simcha v'sasan vikar elu hatfilin. Virahu is the crown. This week's parasha. It's interesting. It's not for nothing that when they went out of Mitzrayim, we defeated Paro, who was Kaved, and Hashem gave us who's. What does Kaved mean? Yokar. That word. The Targum says Yokar. The Targum. So again, what does the Targum mean? What does it mean? It's a very difficult concept. This week is the spitz of Ki ani hichbaditi eslibo. We translate this in English. I have hardened his heart. Right. Who says that? What does that mean? Hardened. Targum is the first translator, and he says the word kaved means yokar. What does yokar mean in English? It means heavy. Okay, that gives us a new translation.
Yokar means heavy?
Yeah. Weighted, yeah.
I would say expensive,
That's another...
Price, okay,
that's another translation. Yokar, I think, often in the Gemara means heavy, which makes sense. He made a decision, and the decision is like 1,000 tons, and he can't move. He can't move from his decision. He's stuck. He's anchored to his stubborn decision. He can't budge him. Tell a person you want to make, budge him, convince him. Doesn't budge. Why doesn't he budge? He just can't move. He weighs 1,000 pounds. He can't move. But that's not really what it means. It means honor. And I want to suggest, I want to prove it to you, I want to suggest over here, Hashem, the source of Paro's stubbornness is Gaiva. Paro holds of himself to be perfect, to be the most honored, the most brilliant. And Hashem is saying, I did it to him. The way I am going to force Paro, to do himself in, and it's so true today, you look at politicians, is they become extremely arrogant, and the arrogance just feeds on itself, and they create for themselves an honor. I can't be wrong. If I went, I'm the biggest genius. I made a decision. You see this in the world of politics every single day. Hashem says, Paro is a Baal Gaiva. Kaved means Targum. Ki Kaved Lev Paro. Paro is a Baal Gaiva beyond belief. There is no one that is more arrogant in this world than Paro. And therefore, that is the reason why he's not going to change his mind. We know people out there that are not Balei Gaiva. They're just stubborn. They're just stubborn mules. They have an issue. They have, sometimes they'll say it's a mental illness. But I don't think the average person, you have to talk to a psychologist, is that stubbornness is always connected to arrogance. Sometimes it is, but not necessarily, because I think you can find people that are just stubborn people, and they're not really arrogant. It's just, this is how they do things, and you can't teach an old dog new tricks. There's certain stuff. But then there are people that have a different type of stubbornness. They're really soft people, but they're arrogant. The arrogance creates a dynamic where they can't change. Now, why am I saying this? Because Paro and Moshe, they are, you know, Paro is the nemesis of Moshe. What do Chazal say about, what does the Torah say about Moshe? V'yoish Moshe onov me'oid mikol ha'adam. Asher al pnei ha'adamah. Why does the Torah say that? Why does it have to reveal that? You know, it doesn't reveal in this context. But it's not a coincidence that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is bringing to battle Kaved Lev Paro. Ki ani hichbadeti es libo. I'm going to set up a system of politics in Egypt where Paro is going to develop into an arrogant person. See, when you go talk about a midah of stubbornness, so you could say, it doesn't make any sense. What, Hashem is controlling his mind? You don't have to come on to that. Hashem is causing events in Egypt to unfold in such a way where Paro is falling into a trap of becoming an extremely arrogant person. He's put into position, whatever it is. It doesn't necessarily mean Hashem is controlling his mind. Hashem is controlling the situation where...
The rope to hang himself.
Right, exactly. He is... Hashem is making him into a balgaiva. And once you're a balgaiva, you're not going to back down no matter what. And who comes to Paro? The onov me'oid mikol ha'odam asher al pnei ha'odamah. Hashem is bringing together to this match the kaved ano yakoris. This word appears in the Targum numerous times in this whole story. Every time it says the word kaved, Targum yakir. Yakir, yakir means honor. It means kavod. La Yehudim ha'isa oyla simcha v'sasim v'kar. What's a v'kar? Elu ha'tfilin. What is tfilin? It's a crown. Elitist. You're an elitist. Paro is a balgaiva. Who comes to Paro? Boel Paro. You Moshe, v'ish Moshe, anav v'yom mikol ha'adam, asher al pnei ha'adama, you go. The irritation that you will bring him by going to him is beyond belief. When the person who's the most arrogant of this world comes in contact with the most humble of this world, could you imagine an explosive confrontation? There could be no greater agony for a person who is the most arrogant of the world to go deal with a person who is the most humble of this world. It's unbelievable. Humble, right. Exactly. Well, it doesn't say that Mordechai was humble. I mean, Mordechai obviously was a humble person, but Torah doesn't say those words.
No, but the more important part is the guy, though.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so Haman was Miyish Hashem Yachba Itzlah. So Yikar.
He said, Paro messed up. I'm not going to mess up. Miyish
Hashem Melech Yasos Yikar Yoyser Mimen. The word Yikar means honor, explicit honor. Okay, so this is just a point that I think is a significant point. The stubbornness of Paro is his arrogance. And the proof is, Haman, Miyish Asher Yachpoitz HaMelech La'asos Yikor Yoyser Mimeni. It's that same word that the Targum used to translate Kaved Lev Paro. He's an arrogant Balgaiva. And once he made a decision, he cannot humiliate himself to acknowledge he made a mistake. Look in the news. Look at these politicians who make the most horrible mistakes regarding the economy, regarding all the different things. COVID, we're going with COVID in every single dimension. And then you can show them smoking gun proof of policies regarding every single thing that they do in their decision they make, international, of domestic international policy dealing with Ukraine, you can show them smoking gun proof. I did nothing wrong. Adaraba, adaraba. This makes it even better. The gaiva is so unreal. It's so unreal. Kaved leiv paro gaiva. Moshe v'ish Moshe onov me'oid. It is an incredible battle between the gaiva and the humility, and ultimately humility wins. And when humility wins, what is it made? What is the reward? What is the only mitzvah? It's very bizarre. Kadesh likol b'char tefillin v'hayol la'os al yadcha u'lizikaron b'nei necha. When Moshe Rabbeinu succeeds, when humility succeeds, it is Moshe who gets the honor. It is Klal Yisrael who goes in the way of humility that gets the tefillin. The tefillin is the mitzvah, the only mitzvah that is called yokar. Lahud ma'oisa oira simcha v'sasan v'kar kichbalati leparo. Okay, next short idea. Moshe Rabbeinu, another very important other element of Arba, it's the first smaka where it says Uleman tisaper biyoznei vincha uven bincha es asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim. For some reason, and Hashem says, go to Paro, warn him, and bring upon the maka, and the maka here all of a sudden is a shift. Not only are we going to talk about the miracles, the Exodus, and the miracles, there's also going to be a lesson for your children. Now, children, they like locusts. what are children like? They like locusts. What are they? They give them a smartphone. They'll be much happier. Uleman tisaper biozne vincho ven vincho eis asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim my inyan shmita eitzel har Sinai. Why now we come to the Makkah of Arba? All of a sudden is HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking about the children. I mean, talk about Dam, Tzardeya, Akinim, Odov, Dever, Shchin, Borod. All of a sudden, Uleman tisaper biozne vincho ven vincho my height. There's another very important element about the Makkah of Arba that does not appear by any other Makkah. The Makkah of Arba is described as a Makkah that's going to finish off what was left over by another Makkah. There was another Makkah. What was the other Makkah?
Borod.
And the pasuk over here says, it says over here in the pasuk, Eis asher hishir haborod v'chisos einar. It's v'lo yichal eres haaretz v'yachales. It will eat. How does Moshe describe the Makkah Barat? Es yeser hapleta. Look at that. It's going to finish off the yeser hapleta, like the sheiris hapleta, the yeser hapleta. Hanish eres lochem min habarat. It's the only Makkah that references another Makkah. Very unique. This, again, you have to always look at the unique elements of each Makkah. It references another Makkah. It doesn't say about Sfardeya, it's going to, Dadam. We don't talk about Oroiv, about other Makkahs. We don't talk about Shchin. Each one is independent. All of a sudden, Makkah number 8, footnote. We're going to reference the Yeser, Yeser HaPlita, HaNeshot Chamin HaBarov, Yochalitz Kol Eit HaSumel Chamin HaSodeh. What was the Makkah of Barad was a Makkah that taught the world, I'm gonna knock you out, I'm gonna come back to clean up, to finish off the job. Finish off. That's a lesson. Because maybe you'll argue that Hashem, you know, he brings the Makkah, and if you survive, you survive. Mm-hmm. No. Hashem gives you a Makkah and lets you survive because he wants you to survive. But if you don't want to take the message, Hashem will come back and finish you off. The Makkah is like a team. These two Makkahs, really, they're part of one team. Barad and Arba, they go together. They go together, and Arba will clean up the mess. What are the purpose of children? What do you have children for? To clean up your mess. Children, each generation, this is the me'uleman tisaper. The goal of children in Klal Yisrael is not for the children to reject the previous generation. okay, they were them, they did what they did. Now we have a new way. We have a new technique, a new hashkafa, chas v'shalom. The goal of every successive generation is to be mashlim whatever was incompleted by the previous generation. Hashem gave the Torah, Hashem gave the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hashem promised them Eretz Yisrael. Did the Avos live to see Eretz Yisrael? No. So what are all of the successive generations doing? Being mashlim, the haftacha, the bracha, that Hashem gave to the Avos. Torah was given in Sinai. Was the Torah fully developed? Did they have, it says in the Chazal that every HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he leaves over every generation, they are machadish. They are chidushim, they are insights, there are an understanding and a way of utilizing the Torah that never was utilized before. Every generation, to a degree, is coming to complete, to expand upon whatever was left over from the previous generation by design, to give every generation their purpose in being mashlim, what started off originally from the very beginning. That is why it is specifically the lesson. There was a very powerful lesson here learned by the Egyptians. We survived. Barot came and wiped out the whole country, but you know what? There's something left over to eat. We survived. Let's rebel. Hashem's not going to do this again. You know, how many times is there a snowstorm in the winter? You have a big snowstorm, maybe two. It's it. You get a makkah, and you get up, and now you deal with the next problem. No, you know, Hashem is in full control. You don't behave, I'll come back and finish you off. Hanisheres lochem min ha-barad. The Yeser HaPleta, HaNesheres Lechem Min HaBarad. The whole purpose of Arba is to finish off Barad. This is a lesson. Everything in the negative has a lesson in the positive. Uleman Tisaper Biozne Vincha Vemincha Es Asher Hisalalti B'Mitzrayim. Every Makkah for the Egyptians was a Musar Shmuz for Klal Yisrael. Do you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he comes back to be Mashlim? That's what you're all supposed to do. Your ancestors, they only live that long. They can't bring Mashiach. They can't necessarily perfect the world. They have laid down the foundation. Every generation presents another component that is necessary to bring Mashiach, to bring Shlemus. And you, every generation, you have to follow in this way. The Yeser HaPleta, HaNesheres Lochem. This is your tafkid. A child is not here to go and cut himself off from the previous generation. The goal is to follow in the musar of Barot Arbe, the Yeser HaPleta HaNesheres Lochem. There's something left over for you to be mashem. It's yours. It's your acquisition. It's your chidush, but it's only yours when it's viewed in the perspective of a hashlama to the Avos. To our ancestors. Okay, last thing, Ramchal, in honor of Ramchal. Every year we talk about it is the first Rashi in Parashas Bereishis says, Lo ha yotzorch lahaschil elam yachoydesh azelochem, shi mitzvah rishoyna. Why then did the turning with Bereishis? So what does it say? Because koyach masav higid liyamoy. Why do we start with Bereishis? Because Hashem wanted to reveal koyach masav higid liyamoy. Law says lohem nachalas amim. Shem yoimru, if the goyim are going to say, listim atem, you're a bunch of bandits. So look, Hashem created the world. He gave it to who he wanted, and he took it away from them, and he gave it to us. Okay, that's the first Rashi. Therefore, we learned that really we should have started with Hazor lohem. Everything in first mitzvah. Now, so what do we come away with? Today, This Shabbos is a very big simcha. It's a tremendous simcha. That we make a kiddush this Shabbos because make a siyum. This week, since we start in the middle of the parsha, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, right before you get to HaChodesh is the siyum of Koyach Masav Higil Yamo. The Torah of and how do we know the whole story? Go look at the Medrash. There's a Medrash Rabbah, Pirkei Rabbi Eliyahu, Medrash Agada, Eliezer. You have a whole collection. I think there are 90 Midrashim. So go look at the Midrashim. They'll tell you the whole story, all the secrets. There's a whole. Go look it up on the web. You'll learn the whole story. It has to be in the Torah. Yes. Koyach masav higid li amai. Lo seis lechem nachlas amim. Shem yoimru. Listen atem. Hashem created, Hashem gave it to me once, Hashem took it away. That means that right before which aliyah is in achesh lechem, it is the fifth aliyah, right? The fifth aliyah. We start Vayikra Moshe, no, it's not the fifth aliyah. Wherever it is, six aliyah?
Perikud
Beis. Middle of the fourth aliyah. That means right before you get to that, when you get to the part, so you should stop kiddush. Hadronaloch mesechta koyach masav higiliyamai. Hadronaloch daitanaloch mesechta koyach masav higiliyamo. No, it's the seam of koyach masav. It's a tremendous simcha. It's not a small matter. But here's the chiddush I want to suggest to you. When we say koyach masav higid liyamo lo seis l'mnachlasam shem yoimu umus oilam, how do we look at this? We look at this chumash bereishis. You know, the main bulk is Hashem created the world, and Hashem and the Canaanim inherited the world, and Hashem presented certain mitzvahs. When we say koyach masav higid liyamo, koyach masav means what? Maisa bereishis. Right, Maisa Bereishis. Lo seis l'mnachlas amim. Shem yoimu umos oilam. If the Canaanim are going to say, listen, Atem, we're going to say, listen, look at Chumash Bereishis. I want to suggest that it's definitely true, but there's much more to it. Because if that, just saying Maisa Bereishis is problematic. Because let the Torah say Maisa Bereishis. And that's it. Parshas Bereishis, maybe Parshas Noach. What do we need? What do we need? What do we need? Everything else. Why do we need to learn about Yosef going down to Egypt? Why do we need to know about Parshas Shemos, Vo'era, Bo, and Hefabo? What do we need this for? We need creation. We need to know. That's it. What's the whole detailed story of that of the Shibud Mitzrayim? So here's the point I want to make. We think that we come into Eretz Canaan, the Canaanim say to us, what are you doing here? This is our land. So we say to them, Hashem created the world, you're sinners, get out. So they'll say to us, how do you know we sinned? Prove it. What do we do to you? What do we do to you? No, we know Hashem told us that you sinned. Yeah, show us the videotape that we sinned. The koyach masig liamo is in Mitzrayim. Hashem showed us firsthand the story of the Exodus. The beginning is where we ourselves experienced persecution. We were victims. Firsthand, we were firsthand victims, and we saw what Hashem did to Paro, to the Russia Paro. We can take our experience in Egypt to believe in Hashem, that the Canaanim, when Hashem told us that the Canaanim are Rishaim, we know they're Rishaim. In other words, if we would not dwell upon what happened to us in Egypt firsthand to a degree, when we would come into Eretz, when we would look today at Eretz Yisrael, all these liberals, these really left-winging people, they're very willing to give the whole Eretz Yisrael back to the Palestinians. They're very willing to give it back to the Arabs.
They believe they stole the land.
Well, they take the land. Why do they believe that? There are many people today who are very willing to give the whole Eretz Yisrael to the Arabs. Jews. Why? We stole it. We stole the land. Oh, but Hashem said they're Rishoyim, the Canaanim.
They don't care about that.
They're Rishoyim. We don't believe, basically, we don't believe you, Hashem. They're good people. They're good people. We don't believe you, Hashem. That's really what it comes down to. They're good people. They deserve it more than we do. But when you dwell upon the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, this you can't deny. This we experienced firsthand. It's not Eretz Yisrael. But when you go through a life experience and you see Koyach Masav, the Koyach Masav, I'm trying to say, is not creation. Koyach Masav Higiliamo is Paro. That's not the Pashup Shat. Koyach Masav Higiliamo is the Koyach of creation. Hashem created the world. He gave it to who he wanted and he took it away. Your lease is up. Why is your lease up? Go to court. The judge is not going to throw you out of your house, even though you haven't paid rent in 50 years. He's not going to throw you out of your house. Corrupt system. Koyach masa, I'm trying to say al derech drush, or maybe even derech pshat, is koyach masa of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And when you go through an experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim and you're the victim and you suffer, and you witness them take your children and throw them to the Nile and make them into bricks, and then you witness the punishment of the Egyptians. Wow, you've experienced firsthand evil. You've experienced retribution. It creates a new appreciation of the world of reality. And then when Hashem tells you that these Kenanim are Rishoyim. And they do the worst things possible, and it is my desire to eradicate them and to get them off the land and give it to you. That's right. I understand what evil is. I understand that these people have angered Hashem because I experience it firsthand. You have to have creation, Hashem's world. But the koyach mas of Higiliamo is primarily, remember, ki eved hayisa be'eretz Mitzrayim. You suffered. They tortured you. There was a shibud for 86 years. When you are a victim, you know, you always go to court and they always ask you in court, the jury duty, were you ever a victim of a crime? Because if you're a victim of a crime, you're no longer fit to serve as a juror. At shtus, just the opposite. Just the opposite. If you're a victim, there's no one better to serve as a juror than you. Mamish, oylam hafuch reisi. That's what Rashi says. Koyach masav higil yamo, it's by design that we start HaChodesh HaZelochem in the middle of the parsha. Because when we're now going to go into Eretz Yisrael and get rid of the villains who are living in Canaan that we taka don't know anything about. We have no experience with these people. Hashem says, they're evil people, get rid of them. When you learned firsthand what evil is, and you learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not tolerate evil, because of first-hand experience with the Egyptians, then when you come into Eretz Yisrael, it's with a completely different attitude. Koyach Masav Higid Li'amo is saying is not going on creation. The average person will tell you, Koyach Masav, Hashem created the world. Vayoymer Elokim Yihyar, Vayyar. No! That's not Nogea. Koyach mas of Higiliamo is Paro. Moshe said, let my people go. And Paro said, no. Hashem clobbered him to death. That's what it means, Koyach mas of Higiliamo. You're a Rasha, you're going to pay the consequences. So now, now we understand. And now when you go into Canaan, and Hashem says, these are Rishoyim. That's right, you guys got to go. And we'll get rid of them very quickly. That's the koyach masa of Higiliam. Okay.